Welcome to Voices Love of Freedom Talk Radio. All right, folks, this is my favorite day of the week, a little Saturday morning time to sit down here and talk about Jesus and just kind of see what Jesus' master plan is for our lives. And I tell you what, I didn't have to read very far to find out that, man, I'm all over this Bible. And you're like, Lunsford, your name is not in the Bible. I'm like, well, I'm going to read you a story here, or not read you a story, but we're going to talk about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah today. And I think you're going to, like, you'll be thinking, wow, this is crazy. But it starts out in about Genesis 18 when the angel of the Lord and two other angels visit Abraham. And interesting thing about it, sometimes you and I, when we're praying to God and talking to God about things, you know, we may pray this big prayer, you know, I hope that this could happen. And then, you know, we kind of negotiate it down. So let me give you something here. We're not the first ones to do that. Here's Abraham, the father of many nations. The angel of the Lord has come, and the angel of the Lord, being the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, a lot suspect, basically says, am I going to hide this from Abraham, or am I going to share the fact that we're going to go down here and we're going to annihilate Sodom and Gomorrah? So anyway, they decide they're going to share it with Abraham. So Abraham says, well, what if there's 50 righteous people in that city down there? Now, I've heard all kinds of totals on that. I've heard that there was an excavation done and there was something like 200,000 graves, you know, or 200,000 bodies recovered there in that Sodom and Gomorrah area. I have no clue if that's true or not. But I'm going to say there was a whole lot more than 50 people there. So when Abraham starts out and he is negotiating to get his nephew saved, which he'd already gone out and rescued Lot once before, and if you recall, the deal with Lot is Lot thought he was getting the best part of the deal, because as he's standing there on the mountaintop with Abraham, Abraham says, look, our livestock's too much, our people are too much, they're bickering, they're fighting. Choose a way to go, and I'll go the opposite way. Well, a true Christian or a true follower of God like Abraham was more than willing to give Lot the first choice, because guess what? God was going to bless Abraham no matter what. So Lot looks down with the eyes of the world. See, we all look at worldly things. And Lot says, hey, I want where it looks good over here. This here city, they're going to have all the amenities of town, but the ground's good over here. I mean, this is where I want to be. So now it's come to a point where the stench of their sin has reached all the way to heaven. And God has come down in the form of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in order to take a look, even though he knows what's going to happen. But Abraham starts at 50, and I'm not going to go down through every bit of it. But then it was 50, then it was 45, then it was this. And in verse 32 of chapter 18 of Genesis, it gets down to this. Abraham says, what if there be 10 people there? Now, this is a beautiful picture of what God will do. If there are 10 people there, God is going to spare the whole city. You and I that are walking around here that are saved are blessed people. God is sparing all the aggravation that's around us. It could get, and it will get a lot rougher when the church is raptured out of here. But for this day and time, okay, for this day and time, here's where we are, okay? We are just as much chasing after this world, and there is just a remnant of people. What would be 10 people in the midst of 20,000, or 10 people in the midst of 200,000? You see where we're going with this? So at the end of the day, wow, you know, God is so merciful, and he's so giving, and he's so forgiving that he wants us to get saved. He's going to spare this whole city if 10 people are righteous. So the two angels, they come into Sodom at the evening, and there's Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now, read a little bit about Lot in my history. He might have been the mayor of the town. A lot of times we say, well, Christian can't get involved in politics. Well, Lot's a little on the backslidden side right now, but yet at the same time, there he is doing whatever he's doing. So he bows himself down because he still recognizes God. Do you know why a lot of people don't go to church today? Because when they get into church, if they're out of fellowship, they're going to recognize God, and then the emotion of it all is going to cause a lot of people just to break down and cry, and most of us don't like to cry in public, right? Most of us don't like to cry anyway. But it does relieve tension sometimes, but that's another lesson. So he says, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you. Now this is Lot talking to the angel of the Lord, okay? He said, come into thy servant's house. So Lot still considers himself to be a servant of the Lord. Now I thought about how many times you and I might consider ourselves to be a servant of the Lord, but we are not serving Jesus, right? So the angel of the Lord kind of gouges Lot a little bit. He says, nah, we're just going to stay in the street all night. Well, Lot knows what's going on in the streets of the city. See, the Christian knows what's going on out there, but they just won't take a stand. Well, we don't want to talk about Lunsford's political campaign in church because we don't talk about politics in church. Listen, you better talk about Jesus being first. You better talk about backing the guy that wants to try to see that get done. Because if you don't have the guts to stand up and go do it, you better get somebody who will. Right? But they said, now we're going to just stay in the street. So he pressed upon them greatly in verse 3 of Genesis 19. So they turn into Lot's house. Before they begin to lay down for rest, the whole house is compassed about by a bunch of crazed, perverted lunatics. Let's just break it down. They say, send these men out that we may know them. So Lot's at the door, and he's like, look, you don't know what you're doing. Get out of here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he comes to the realization. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'll even send my daughters out to you, but this is such a perverted area. They don't want the daughters. They want these men. There was something about these men that were different, and there it is, okay? Now, here's what really started to strike me as something scary, and I think this is what you and I go through when we witness to people, okay? The angel of the Lord says, we're going to destroy the city, so get everything together. Get your people together, and let's get out of here, okay? Because we're going to destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, this is Genesis 19:13. So Lot goes out, and he talks to his son-in-laws, which had married his daughters, and he says, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Hey, Lot was just kidding. Well, Noah was just kidding till the door was shut on the ark, right? God tells you what to do. It's in this Bible. I don't have to live Lot's life to understand I need to live by these rules. Lot's words meant nothing anymore, okay? In Noah's time, Noah told his kids, and they got on the ark. You see, they got to where they needed to be. Lot goes to his son-in-laws, and guess what? They're not interested. That's pretty scary, isn't it? His testimony was no more there. So he goes down here in verse 15, and the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. So what did we end up with? Four people out of that whole town are spared. They wouldn't even listen. But here's verse 16. This is where you and I are today. When we get saved, we need to run as far as the east is from the west because that's the way God casts out our sin. But look what you and I do. It says, and while he lingered, in verse 16, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So he makes it out of the city, okay, and it comes to pass that when he brought them forth, that they said, escape for thy life. In verse 17, look not behind thee neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. So you want to be something for Jesus Christ, you got to make a change. You got to separate yourself out when you get saved. Because if you think you're going to be saved and you're still going to waller around in the cesspool of sin and you're still going to waller in the hog trough, guess what sooner or later is going to happen? You're going to be consumed. Now, Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Now you're thinking, well, what in the world? He says, look, we can't live in the mountains. Man, we're used to the city life, and I think about this so much. If something really bad happened, could we take care for how long? Could we take care of ourselves? Oh, not so, Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy eyes. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And Lot said, you've saved me for what? To go into the mountains, lest I die? Behold, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one of my soul shall live? See, so this place called Bela, which I guess becomes Zor, okay, they escape over to that area for a little while. But then the Lord rains down on Sodom and Gomorrah the brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew these cities of the plains and all the inhabitants of the city, that which grew upon the ground. For his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. See, there's so many today, okay, that no matter what God has done, no matter how he delivers you, no matter how far he's brought you, you still want to look back. You get saved and you laid all that sin down at the altar, and then just about the time you got up, you started carrying it back to your seat with you. See, that's where we're at on so many different things. We've got this thing, one, if we'll resist the devil, he'll flee from us. If we'll resist the world and the system that's in it, that God's going to take care of us. But I can't waller in everything that the world has. Okay? I can't waller in it all and then wonder why God's not there. Now, this is a fantastic Old Testament example of eternal security. What do you say? How was he eternally secure? Well, look what happened with Lot. He could have easily been destroyed because he could have been caught up in the very sin of the day there. He was living in the middle of the sin, which is very difficult to do and not be a sinner. He was backslidden from every point of view. His testimony meant nothing to his son-in-laws. The word of the Lord meant nothing to his wife because she could not let it go. She had to take a look back. Man, oh man. You say, well, they destroyed all the evil people, so everybody lived happily ever after. Well, not really. Because we know that Lot and his daughters move into the mountains, and the next thing you know, they're getting Lot drunk in order to have sexual relations with their father, and what comes forth from that are heathen nations of just pure maniacs. So when I let a little bit of sin in, when I won't separate myself out, when I won't focus on God, when I won't look forward, there's where we're at today. I tell you, I preach this to myself too every morning, and I'm saying this right now, we've all got to do a little bit better job. Well, Lunsford, you're talking about something you don't know anything about. You know what? There would have been a day when you would have been exactly right. But I tell you what, I do know a little bit more than I knew yesterday. And I'm encouraging you to figure out a little bit more, because at the end of the day, God's got a master plan for you. And I'm telling you what, if you can't get beyond looking back all the time, if you can't get beyond always wanting to be involved in the things of the world, if you can't get to a point where your words still mean something, man, oh, man, it's a scary situation, isn't it? It's a scary place if your word doesn't mean anything. Boy, there were his son-in-laws. Oh, get out of here. You could almost hear the laughing until the fire and the brimstone started falling. Have a great Father's Day weekend.